Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to WSCIRO, Blog Talk Radio. And I'm Dr. Shirley Kenneth, your general manager, along with my other part, my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Kenneth, the other general manager. And it's on Sunday, 10:49 p.m., November 29th, and I hope you all enjoyed a wonderful Thanksgiving week. And, you know, it just doesn't stop there. We're about ready to go into Advent. And the theme of this show is going to be, welcome in Advent. What is that to you? What is that to me? What is that to the body of Christ? What is that to the world? We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come on in there. Holy Spirit, you are welcomed here and on this show and in this place and in our hearts. We just ask, Lord, that you would just take the flame of your love and just guide us, Lord, and breathe your breath of life into us, your very words that you want us to speak this evening. Thank you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, for continued blessings upon my friends here, first of all, who listen to me here on Blog Talk Radio. I always seem to forget them. And the Facebook community, as well as the YouTube. And just want to say hi to my brothers and sisters from the Brothers and Sisters of Charity, John Michael Talbot's community. And just want to say God bless you. Happy Advent season also to John Michael Talbot and the rest of the body of Christ. Well, today, my husband, he's on vacation, so that's pretty good. The next couple of weeks, and so we're going to really get into the holiday season. We call it the Advent season because we're waiting on the Lord with eager and great expectation of what the Holy Spirit wants to show us and He wants to impart in us this special season, and so that's what we're here to talk about. So, you know, we were in prayer, and, you know, we did go to church, of course. We received the Eucharist, and we see Jesus in the Eucharist. We already have him in our hearts, and we have a relationship with him through the person of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, every day, every moment of the day, when you give it to the Lord, it becomes so rich because, you know, he brings you into his classroom, and the Holy Spirit's a teacher. He's not only the comforter, he's a teacher. So we're just asking our teacher today, what do you want us to teach today so we can teach our fellow brothers and sisters and those that are destined to be our brothers and sisters. And he had us go to see this movie. Jim Carrey is in this movie. He played about three or four different characters, and it's Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, but it wasn't just, you know, another Christmas Carol story. It was a story done in 3D animation. I mean, well, partial animation. It was like Shrek, but 3D IMAX. We had to wear 3D glasses, and we became like part of the movie, I guess, right? That's how it is. When you have 3D, the movie comes at you, and you know, and then the other seats that move. So it was very interactive, is the word I want to say. But here's my husband to just give you a recap of what that movie is about, and then we're going to talk about between my husband and myself and you, the listening audience, about just what. You know, what do we need to learn from the Christmas Carol? Many people over the centuries, because it goes back to the 1800s, right, have heard the Christmas Carol read in the classrooms, in the elementary schools. Yeah, animation, and also, there's been some old movie classics on the Christmas Carol, you know, portrayed by different characters. And very well done each time, and also it was cartoon, but this is more like in today's terms, and yet it reflected, the Industrial Revolution time period in the 1800s in Old England. So he and my husband to kind of like give a recap of the life of Scrooge, and then we'll talk more about what that means for me and what the Lord's saying, and as we wait in eager expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in a greater way in our hearts this Advent season. Okay, I'm going to give you Jeff the mic.
Hello, folks, and good evening, and hope all has a blessed Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving weekend. And I'm giving a summary of simply what the story Christmas Carol is trying to teach. And it starts with a man who had some pretty hard knocks in his youth as a child and as a young adult, and then by the sad example of Bob Marley, he had become businessmen with this man, and this man was afflicted with a thing called greed. Bob Marley, his mentor in the business. And I'm not there yet.
Okay.
and how over time he became very bitter to the point where he loved money more than he did people, and that cost him the love of his life, because he developed a fear of poverty, an extreme reaction to having been poor, and all the bitternesses and hardness of heart that come with it. And his name is Ebenezer Scrooge. And the storyline sets him up, gives you kind of a good idea of his state of soul, state of mind, state of spirit, and how much bitterness is in him. And then little does he know that heaven is making a rescue plan for him. And when he returns to his home after work on Christmas Eve, he has this strange warning visitation from the soul of his former boss, Bob Marley. And it is not a pleasant vision, because he comes chained with his own sin, a lifetime of sin and not being generous towards the needs of others and a whole bunch of other things, and the needy, the poor, and this visitation was a warning about another part of the visitation that was going to happen. These three spirits sent to show Mr. Scrooge the parts of his life that were, the parts of his life that were in the present moment, and the parts of his life that could be better in the future. So after he experiences these three spirits, he sees the joy he had when he was younger, when he was brought on a visitation throughout his life by the spirit of Christmas past. And then the spirit of Christmas present showed him all the things that were going on around him in his here and now life. And then spirit of Christmas yet to come was showing him what could happen in his future, and his future was rather short. When you see this story, you'll know what I mean. And after these visitations, they all press in upon Ebenezer's heart and shows him where he was sinful in attitude and towards people when he had the power to help people. And by the time he returned out of these visions, his heart had changed, and it started showing in the way he was just glad to be alive. And he was experiencing joy, a joy he never realized or never had for a long time in his life. Because in this storyline, Scrooge is actually in his 60s almost. So he realizes that, he makes amends, and he starts showing it's like he starts showing he's manifesting what went on inside him by he had become generous. He had become willing to repair the attitude that he could display to different people in the community who were helping the needy, who were helping the poor, the carolers, who were raising money for different causes. And he was just free of the bitterness that had engulfed him, and it's all in a nutshell. The Christmas Carol is about a transformed life. When heaven touches upon the earth and picks out people to bless and to transform into the likeness of God, to allow joy to come into your house, make space for it. The Lord's joy, the joy of giving to others who need assistance because God has blessed you with abundance and so forth and so on. It's a good story. I recommend you seeing it either at the local theaters or the IMAX theater.
IMAX is much better.
It has a much better dimensional experience for it. Yeah. And Kate Shirley.
Well, thank you for that commentary, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
And of course, we can hear Rose in the background saying that she's our time checker, she's our computerized secretary. Well, you know, it's just so awesome when you can actually see something. And I don't go to many movies because, frankly, we don't have time. We're doing outreach and we work and we produce our own things on radio and internet. But anyways, like Dr. Jeff said, the Christmas Carol is, I think it's timely. I think it's not only timely, but the way that they made this movie is a movie for people who have the gift of vision and seeing. I really believe that, believers, we all should have the gift of vision and seeing. Others have it stronger than others because they simply ask for it from the Holy Spirit, and they simply pray, and their hearts are not hard, and that's the ironic thing about this movie. It shows, it teaches, I believe, especially people, but especially the believers who have a seeing gift, just how our seeing can become cloudy. If our heart is embittered, and one of the things that I liked about, we actually saw this movie twice. We saw it in a regular theater because it's produced through the 3D format, but we went to the IMAX because they had a little bit more effect around, like the seats moved and there were different things that we couldn't see in the regular theaters that showed a 3D movie, but there was, because of the way that the screen was made, and we were able to see a little bit more and therefore participate in a little bit more. And so I wanted to get the whole experience because I wanted to be open to what the Lord wanted me to see and how the Lord wanted me to watch the movie. So it was so funny at the beginning of the movie. It begins with the everyday dealings of Mr. Scrooge there, and as I was watching, I started thinking of some of the people that could have should see this movie because maybe they have a little bit of Scrooge. I really believe there's a lot. We all, let's face it. We all have a little bit of Scrooge in all of us, right? That part of our hearts that says bah humbug to certain things, to certain ideologies, to certain attitudes, to certain ways or perspectives of looking at life, situations, people, especially in the political arena and everything, We all have this, and we all need to be aware of this, and this is, if anything, this is what this movie teaches, okay? We need to watch our hearts, but if we don't, especially the initial attempt when we're younger, of the enemy to hide in the house. We can carry that thing, whatever it is, and it could be gnawing. Yeah, it could be gnawing at us, and we go, and then next thing you know, your spirit man is slow asleep until the very end, and you know you haven't had people praying for you through these things, and I call them dark nights. Then you know you can be really, you can be trapped in that prison, you know, in the prison of your heart. You can be your own prisoner, and you know that's it. Yes.
Well, where there's hate, there's no space for love, and where there is no love, there's a judgment against it.
Right. And so the main character portrayed by Jim Carrey, Scrooge, was really, you know, he was on his way to hell, you know, and you could see it in his face. His face was very hardened and embittered, and you know, and even at that point in his life, in the present moment, as the movie opens, you have his relatives just trying to figure him out, and at some point he couldn't even figure himself out, and and then one of his nephews had talked to him about, you know, that's what it was. Scrooge had asked one of his nephews, well, his only nephew, why did you marry? And he said, love. And Scrooge says, love, like it was a foreign word. Like he may have understood that the word love and then maybe the emotion of love at some point in his life, but he's trying to remember it. I mean, that's how hearted he had gotten, you know, like what's that, you know, like he just couldn't, you know, perceive that emotion, that wonderful gift from God, you know, love beyond emotions. It's an action, it's an emotion, it's all of the above, you know, and he just couldn't comprehend. It was like a faint memory, maybe, you know. You was thinking about, him when he was younger, but you know, with just a faintness, a mere faintness about that, you know, his experience with his heart, you know, and so, but the Holy Spirit was, and I'm going to say the Holy Spirit with the movie doesn't, with the story doesn't call the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, but you know, the Holy Spirit was lining up. One of the greatest visitations that that they've ever portrayed. And I really believe whoever, you know, that Charles Dickens may have had a seer experience and just wrote about it because that's how powerful it is, and things like that. So
it's not just a story to entertain; it's a story to change.
Right, change. You know, we talked about that in the last. Show when we were interviewing John Michael Talbot that, you know, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade, and, you know, the life always makes changes, you know, and the purpose of life is to grow on every level, and if we don't embrace that change, we can actually regress and become hardened, but if we embrace the change and in a positive way, we can actually grow and into, you know, a beautiful human being. And you know, with divine characteristics and things like that, and having a wonderful effect on people and in the world. So we be great ambassadors of the Lord. So you know, change is always inevitable. It's just how we manage it, you know, in our hearts, and how well we surrender to the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I want to get back to the movie because God is using this, you know, as the life of Scrooge in a classic Christmas carol written by Charles Dickens as a prophetic warning about us as believers living in this world where it's just an increased darkness, but at the same time it's also an increase of the light and love of God. But, you know, it's almost like you have to, you know, find it. You have to really pursue this. more than we ever did. It was like 20 or 30 years ago. So, you know, in this movie, when he started to get, when he had the initial visitation from, you know, the, you know, and this is a little bit, this is where, kind of the body of Christ, they don't understand these, you know, sometimes they don't understand visitations and is that a demon or is that the person? And supposedly, you know, in the Christmas Carol, all right, just for the sake of Charles Dickens, you know, the ghost of Jacob Marley or the spirit of Jacob Marley comes and he's wrapped, he's in chains, and he's having this conversation with Scrooge and, you know, and he's given him a warning about, you know, the condition of Scrooge's heart and how, you know, he's been doing things and thinking, you know, just like him and his thinking and his way of doing things and the business practices and attitudes against the poor and all this, you know, all these things. You know, I've been making money an idol, too much more an idol than what it should be. You know, real, you know, the greed and the avarice that came with that. You know, put this person in chains, and he was lamenting it, and he was sent heaven sent him to Scrooge to tell him you have a much bigger chain, and you need to change. You need to change your heart. You need to change everything, or your future will not be good. And his future was, let's just put it this way, his destiny, well, his life was going to end within 24 hours if he didn't make up his mind, if he didn't heed the warning, all right? And so this thing that represented Jacob Marley had, went through the window, and we had this, the IMAX, the way that this 3D movie went, and I don't want to give away too much, is that all these other people that were once living were, they had chains attached to them, and so it was like a kind of hell, and they were flying through the air, you know, like, you know, with that idol.
Scrooge's eyes were finally open, and he saw the spiritual world of the damned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were just, you know, what it was is that they had these major big chains attached to them with, attached to the idols that they carried throughout life that they didn't want to give up, you know. And how many idols do we all have? You know, even though we claim to be believers, I mean, what are those idols? You know, you start thinking that when you're watching that part of the movie, like, you know, I must have an idol. I don't want this idol. I don't want to be chained to this thing. I want to be rid of this so I can receive all that the Lord has for me, my heart, so it does not become hard. And I don't want to miss it. I think that the perspective in the body of Christ should be, you know, and this is what the Holy Spirit is wanting and willing, should be, okay, not, you know, to have the biggest ministry so I can be the best leader. No, it's like, you know, look at, you know, like constantly examine in your heart and asking the Lord, what is it that's still in my heart that is preventing me from receiving all that you have for me so I can be, you know, all that you want me to for the kingdom of God and, you know, and for mankind. You know, and not so much for power or in control, but, you know, how, you know, one can be a greater example of the kingdom of God so that people could want to embrace things of the kingdom in a greater way you know, all because of love, you know, of the love of the Father flowing for mankind. And things like that, you know, and it's primarily to set the prisoners free. That's why we want more of the Lord. It should be in this Advent season that we want more of the Lord, so that, you know, that the prisoners of our heart can be set free, and that as we're set free, we can be used as ambassadors of grace and mercy to set others free in the name of Jesus. Okay? And that's the way that it should be, so that the joy of the Lord can come in there and so that this world can be a better place and things like that. And, you know, hope deferred makes a man grow sick. And in this movie where, you know, we begin to, before the transformation of this one man, all right, Scrooge, before his transformation, there, because he had the money, he had the influence, and he wasn't using it right, to whom much is given, much is to be expected. Everybody was going around with mopey faces, and, you know, I couldn't help but look at the rotten teeth, but they portray that well. You know, the whole countenance and disposition, because of this one man's selfishness, you know, because he had that much control, because it would work for him, and different things like that, it just dried up a reservoir, that wellspring of hope. And, you know, and the thing is, if one person could do that, could you imagine ten? Just my attitude. It's just, Scrooge, he had the money, he had everything. He had a bad attitude, you know. It dried up his heart, and it dried up everybody else's heart around him. That was his effect. And I saw that, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow. I said, there's many people that call themselves believers that have, you know, that are, you know, have the capacity and the capability to help a whole lot of people, you know, but they're wanting the biggest churches or the best ministry with their best idea, you know, and they'll wouldn't think twice of stepping on somebody else's toes or whatever to get there, wherever there is. And you kind of say, no, that's totally wrong. You know, no, check your heart. Look at your heart, all right? And let him mold it. Let him work it, all right? Let him work it. And so your eyes, can, you know, spiritual eyes can be open. And, you know, it's all about his love, freeing you up so you could be a hope to the lost and dying world, you know, the hope of Jesus, all right? And so we need to be that cup of water to each other and to our brothers and sisters that he calls us to, you know. They don't necessarily have to be Christian. We need to be that cup of water, that living water of his Holy Spirit, but our spirit needs to be set free first. And I really believe that during this Advent season, this time of waiting for great expectation of what the Lord's going to do in his presence, we have to be open so we can be that cup of water. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to go deeper in our hearts so that, you know, he can pull this out, because we're right at midnight, and that's what one of the ghosts, you know, one of the spirits was saying. Scrooge was visited by the spirit of Christmas past, present, and future. See, something happened in Scrooge's life. And this is why sometimes when I read Facebook, when I read, you know, some of the, especially the different seasons, and now we're coming upon the season of Advent, I've already started seeing some notes when people say Merry Christmas, or, you know, they're in that joyful season, and all of a sudden somebody, you get that one person or two or three that's saying, well, I don't like Christmas. You can keep your Christmas. I've seen that. I've seen that within the last 24 hours. And the Lord showed me that, obviously, they did not have good memories of Christmas. And when the spirit of Christmas past came, of not just Christmas past in general, but Scrooge's Christmas past, okay, when he came to visit Scrooge, he came as light, and he was illuminating his conscience. So, hold on, Jeff.
The spirit of Christmas past image was a candle.
Yeah,
the flaming, burning, bright candle.
And what do candles do? But they reflect the light and love.
And illuminate the dark areas.
Illuminate the dark areas in a person's soul. So he needed that illumination to illuminate his conscience, to illuminate his hope, and to then have the courage, okay? Because he had to trace. What this spirit did was he put his hand on Scrooge's heart, so that he can look back in his past with courage and learn. So he illuminated his conscience, and then he melted and he warmed his heart. Okay. And so the thing is, jewels began to fall from his heart too. That was the other thing too. Like in that whole illumination process, and of course the Holy Spirit illuminates our minds and hearts when we receive Him. Okay, so so we get illuminated by the Holy Spirit. But what the child, you know, obviously what they did is Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol is that they. The ghost of Christmas past, and the spirit of Christmas past, present, and future. It's all summed up in the Holy Spirit. That's the workings of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I just wanted to share that with you so you can continue to follow me in these analogies. Okay, so this spirit of Christmas past takes him into Scrooge's past to the good memories. Okay, when he was a child, but into the environment. To bring some healing and comfort, and then he brought him to the difficult memories when he was in boarding school, and he was alone for the holidays because he had an alcoholic father. And Jeff, want to say something?
And his situation was just intolerable at home.
Yeah.
And you learn that when he becomes a young adult, and his sister comes to take him home.
Right. He had a younger sister who, he remembers as having such a lively heart, and she kept his heart warm at that point, but it still wasn't enough. His heart needed to be transformed. And so when the Lord called her home, it was like another devastation, another blow, and he carried that rejection and abandonment to his adult life. And that's where many of us are. Chris is at some points for me was the same way years ago, because I lost many things. I had great Christmases when I was younger, and then certain, and then the Christmas took on another avenue, and then I received Jesus, and there's a deepness with this. It's more spiritual than anything else in my experience with Christmas. It's not so much the money or the lack of money. There are lots of times where we don't have anything for Christmas. We have love, the love of God, we don't have the material stuff. Well, we have the love of God, and we have the good relationships. But that's what's really important here, folks. It's relationships with each other. It's relationships, with your family. Those relationships are not nurtured in the Holy Ghost through prayer, or there's not a push for reconciliation, but, and you let that resentment come in there. It hurts you more than you think. There's an eternal consequence to this. You will be held accountable for this. Even if you harbor that attitude against someone that's struggling, instead of praying for them and you're just continually criticizing, that's an idol, and that's a chain that can bind you, or hinder the work of the Holy Spirit acting on your behalf, or the Holy Spirit working and moving through you if you so desire. So, we get to really, our hearts are so important to the Lord, because it's the wellspring of life. It says in Scripture, out of the our heart, the mouth speaks, and, in the heart are the issues of life, the wellspring of life. And so where there's not life, there's death. But then Jesus did take the sting out of death. He broke the powers of death so that it wouldn't have this stronghold on you, all right? And he made it a mere sleep. It's not even, it doesn't have the same, characteristics that it once had, okay? But we're in this life so we can learn to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And I never spoke like this before, but what the Lord was doing was he was using the Christmas Carol as a way to giving you greater clarity in teaching this, the significance of preserving the heart, of really asking the Lord to work on the heart. I really believe that this is a gift that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. I don't need to go to IHOP to, you know, be with 1,000 people or 10,000 people to find out what the Spirit is saying. You know, I have the Holy Spirit, and I know many of you do, and I pray with my husband, my prayer partner, you know, and I'm in constant dialogue with the Lord. I'm not patting myself on the back. But he told us to go to the Christmas Carol movie, and we got more out of that than we would have gotten out of a conference. Okay? And so it's all about the heart. It's all about the issues of life, and it's all about how we treat one another. It's all about just doing what we're called to do. And the other thing about this is that if we're not obedient, you know, each person has their own destiny that they need to walk out. And they have, you know, and their greatest, you know, trials and tribulations become their victories if they have surrendered everything over to the Lord and they learn from it so they can help others in those similar trials so that they can be like a point of contact, you know, to encourage, you know, these other beautiful people that have these struggles to a greater victory. Only because we're able to see, we have eyes to see because we understand because of the nature of the trials. Okay. The other night, I was minding my own business in front of my computer, working on Farmville. God's using Farmville very powerfully. That's going to be another show. But anyways, all of a sudden, one of the people that are on Farmville, I remember the name, I get this call, and she goes, "I am prophetess such and such." And I just got used to those titles because I know we're priest, prophet, and king, and I already understand that, you know, when you're a believer, you do have that. People do have the gift of, you know, prophecy. They also have the priestly anointing and the kingly anointing. So, anyways, and some are, you know, more function in the apostolic role. But I just don't, you know, I'm not into the names, but that's all right. Doesn't mean that, you know, other people shouldn't be. But she did explain to me about what she understands a prophet to be. I just picked up the phone. "Hi, how are you doing?" And this is so and so. And so she began to tell me these different things, you know, about what was going on in her life. I'm just listening now. I'm being very silent because I didn't. This is my first conversation, and you know, other than you know, working on her, helping her with her farm on Farmville. So as I'm helping her on the farm in Farmville, God uses this, you know, relationship on Farmville to, you know, have her call me in real life. And so as she was talking, I realized, I'm like, I know, I've been in his shoes before. I understand this situation. But I wasn't moved to give her an answer until she asked me certain questions. And I began to, you know, I was open for what the Lord wanted me to share with her. But it wasn't to give her an answer, but it was to help her clarify what it was that the Lord had already spoken to her about her situation. And I came away from that conversation thanking God for my trials and tribulations of the past and how I'm able, you know, in my victorious side of my life, I was able to see in a greater way what was going on with this person, and I was able to give her godly advice with full wisdom based on the success rate that I had because I listened to the Lord in my circumstances, situations, and learned from them. So, you know, this is how the Lord works. This is how he operates. But he wants to purify our hands and our hearts and our minds. But you can't be passive about it. You got to cooperate in grace with him. If he tells you to do something, you do it. He tells you to do it, and you know, you can ask him why. He'll tell you the why, you know. I mean, he's such a good God, you know. He will do that through the Holy Spirit. And so after a while, the character Scrooge, you know, it seems like in between each visitation, he realized, all right, I have nothing left in me. I need to listen to what these things are showing me about myself. And he realized, you know, as he was getting into the point where the Christmas future was, that his number was about ready to happen. He was about ready to go with the region of the damned if he didn't make a decision to change in the present moment. So he realized he had the present to make amends. But in the present moment, he saw things as they were in the present. He also, when he was looking at his past hurt, looked at where he once loved, you know. And there was somebody there, and he made a choice to pursue the things that he acquired, the wealth, and he lost the love of his life, and he resented that greatly. And she just left him, and he didn't know how to go back about to get her back, or maybe he didn't desire it at the time. And so, you know, he was so afraid of being poor materially that he didn't want to give off himself to anyone. He didn't see the need. That's where a lot of people are at. They don't see the need. But if you open your eyes or let the Holy Spirit open your eyes, you will be able to see the need to love the way that Christ loves the church. And I really believe that this is what the Lord wants for his bride, for the body of Christ. We need to understand how to love in a greater way, and not just on Christmas, but the rest of our lives. We're waiting to be greater ambassadors of love in this Advent season, so that we can love like Christ loves for the rest of our lives. We have the rest of our lives to live, and each day we need to make it a good day, you know. And we have to accentuate the positives and eliminate the negatives. And we have to, you know, do this as the Holy Spirit shows us and things like that. And I really, really like this movie. I think I recommend this for anyone who's stuck. And then you know, if the Lord shows you what your sins are, you know what, confess your sins. One to another, if you're Catholic, go to confession, you know, and really ponder about the state of your heart. It's you know, and things like that. So it was, and so at the end of this movie, it ends where there's a narrator, one of the characters, you know, ends the story through narration, and it tells, you know, the viewing audience about how this one man's transformation changed the whole mentality, the whole atmosphere of a town. Oh, shababa, shigaraba. Do you know that your transformation can change the whole atmosphere of the town in which you live, not just the family, the town? How about the nation? It could just take one person, but God is calling all of us to do it. He's calling all of us. So I challenge you this Advent season to go before the Lord who made you, who made the heavens and the earth, who made your eyes, all right, and all the chambers in it, all right, and I challenge you to go before him and ask the Lord to do a heart surgery on you and clean up those areas that are preventing you to be used in a way that will change the atmosphere wherever you go, and you know, from an evil atmosphere to a kingdom oriented, non-judgmental, loving atmosphere wherever you go, so that when people walk into your atmosphere, they're changed without you having to say anything. Because it's electrified by the presence of the Lord. Woo! So I just wanted to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and your people and this Advent season. I thank you, Jesus, that no weapon fashioned or formed against them or us in the mighty name of Jesus will prosper. We thank you, Lord. Well, the only thing that's going to transform evil is going to defeat evil is the transformation of men and women's hearts, okay? And I just wanted to decree that 2010, or the rest of the season, we're going to come into the Lord's favor, but that 2010 is going to be the year of the Lord's favor. 2010 is the year of favor upon men's hearts. Favor upon men's hearts. Not favor upon finances, although all those things will happen, but upon your heart. Hearts are the most important thing, just the Lord saying, this season. Hearts are the most important things this season, okay? Men's hearts. So I'm going to read Isaiah 61, and this is how we know that, this is how they will know, by your transformed life, as you give your hearts over to the Lord, that you are from the Lord, when the kingdom of the Lord comes upon them. When the kingdom of the God comes upon you, certain things will happen. When it comes upon them, certain things will happen, but it's going to come upon you first, okay? It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins in men's hearts and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flock. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be called named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, and so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the people. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the soil makes a sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. And it springs up in our hearts. Our hearts, our hearts should be a well-watered garden and by the Holy Spirit. So let your hearts, Lord, I ask right now that your people would receive the grace to allow their hearts to become a well-watered garden for the kingdom so that your righteousness would spring up, okay, before all the nations. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, there was another part in this movie, where the spirits that represented the Christmas past, he had people under his robe, two people. It represented a present. Oh, I'm sorry, Christmas present. There were two people that were under his robe. They represented something, conditions of souls. One was the spirit of want, and The other one was ignorance. They're want and ignorance. And the only things that can keep us from the kingdom, the greatest things of the kingdom, are want and wants of people, wants of possessions, power, all right? Whatever it is that you want to control, that would prevent us from the greatest things of God. And ignorance of, you know, anything that gets in the way of His wisdom for your life. And, you know, there's this part in the scripture that talks about, and I believe it's in Proverbs, that something about knowledge. What is that scripture about knowledge, Jeff? It's in the Old Testament. It's in Habakkuk. My people perish for lack of knowledge, okay, or lack of vision, all right? And so all this movie was all about was one man's visitation that corrected his vision, which gave him a glorious destiny. So I just want to leave you with this, all right? That's our gift to you, that the Lord will, that you would be surrendered enough and submissive to the will of the Holy Spirit in your life to want to pursue, you know, your glorious future by surrendering all to Him this Advent season as you wait upon the Lord. So I just want to just ask the Lord to seal this instruction in your heart and bless you. And if anybody feels that they need to say something, just I am me on Facebook and or you know, email me and you know, let me know that you would like prayer in a certain area, and we'll be happy to do that for you. So I just wanted to say God bless you. Is there anything you want to say to the listening audience, Jeff?
God bless you, everyone.
Amen. Those are the words of Tiny Tim, and those are our words to you. We love you, and thanks for listening to Faith Talks Live Prayer here on Blog Talk Radio.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.